Normally, I like to snark about the various sponsors that sponsor these episodes, but I'm faced with a bit of a challenge because this episode is sponsored in part by A-Cloud Guru. They're the company that's sort of famous for teaching the world to cloud, and it's very, very hard to come up with anything meaningfully insulting about them. So I'm not really going to try. They've recently improved their platform significantly, and it brings both the benefits of A-Cloud Guru that we all know and love, as well as the recently acquired Linux Academy together. That means that there's now an effective, hands-on, and comprehensive skills development platform for AWS, Azure, Google Cloud, and beyond. Yes, and beyond is doing a lot of heavy lifting right there in that sentence. They have a bunch of new courses and labs that are available. For my purposes, they have a terrific learn-by-doing experience that you absolutely want to take a look at. And they also have business offerings as well under ACG for Business. Check them out. Visit acloudguru.com to learn more. Tell them Corey sent you and wait for them to instinctively flinch. That's acloudguru.com. Recently, an anonymous individual told me that their company was planning to migrate to AWS and they were looking for someone to help with the project management side. This anonymous person was hoping to be that project manager. There was one caveat. The right individual would be familiar with AWS. The inquiring mind was not, so they asked me what they needed to learn. First, it's important to understand that AWS is not a distinct product. It's well over 200 products. Nobody, including AWS employees, is deeply familiar with all of them. Nobody. That said, from a project management perspective, it's important to be familiar with what we'll call the big services and a few other odds and ends. You can learn everything else that's not on my list as it comes up, the same way that the rest of us do. So let's jump into a baseline understanding of what the big services are. The first is EC2, Amazon Elastic Compute Cloud. That's Amazon EC2 because there are two C's. Yeah. Are virtual machines that they refer to as instances that can run any software you care to shove into them. This is the baseline service that virtually everyone who uses AWS uses. The engineering is deep, but that really shouldn't matter to you. In my consulting work, EC2 is responsible for the majority of the entire AWS global spend. Think about that for a second. A single entry from a 200-strong services list is over 50% of where all the money goes. That's mind-boggling. Number two is S3, Amazon Simple Storage Service, three S's, S3, yeah, is what's known as object storage. Put a file or files into S3, it keeps them for you for as long as you want. You can retrieve them at any time. S3 can store more data than you will ever be able to afford. There are no capacity limits here on storing data there, and pricing remains linear. So note that security is going to matter to here, but don't let these headlines you see periodically of user leaks data from S3 bucket fool you. Those come from misconfigurations by end customers themselves. Security is going to be very important to get right here, but the service is most assuredly not insecure. If you're interested, it stems from the alternate use of S3 as a static web server where files are supposed to be public. Misconfiguration is easy to get wrong there. Number three is RDS, or Amazon Relational Database Service. It's a managed database offering that lets you choose from these databases: Amazon Aurora, which is their custom thing with Postgres and MySQL compatibility, Postgres, MySQL, MariaDB, Oracle Database, and SQL Server. AWS runs those databases for you, so you don't have to handle a lot of the administrative bits. Some folks eventually migrate those databases to EC2 to run those databases manually when they feel they need more control. Whether that's a legitimate approach or not is still highly contested. There's no right answer clearly emerging there. In what you might be forgiven for mistaking for a blast from the past, today I want to talk about New Relic. They seem to be a relatively legacy monitoring company, and I would have agreed with that assessment up until relatively recently. But they did something a little out there. They reworked everything. They went open source, they made it so you can monitor your whole stack in one place, and most notably from my perspective, they simplified their pricing into something that is much more affordable for almost everyone. There's even a free tier with one user and 100 gigs per month, totally free. Check it out at newrelic.com. Number four is Lambda. This is part of the serverless revolution. You consider AWS Lambda to be the new hotness. The idea is that you write code, and then AWS executes it for you when certain conditions are met, like the passage of time, or when a file shows up, when a user clicks a button, and so on. You can consider this to be most commonly used to glue other AWS services together, but you can go surprisingly far with this on its own. Number five, AWS Regions. Everything I've just mentioned, and more, live in what are called AWS regions. These are vast collections of many data centers that are scattered across the world. They're referred to both by their region, say Northern Virginia, as well as by what AWS calls each region. For example, the Northern Virginia region is called US East 1. Number six, availability zones. Inside of each region, there are multiple availability zones, or AZs, which are data centers located a few miles apart from each other. These are great for local disaster planning, but understand that an issue that affects an entire AWS region will potentially take down multiple availability zones, so plan accordingly. Number seven is data transfer. Data transfer tends to be a big bill item, so I'm predisposed to focus on it more than some folks should, but the nuances of that spend item remain vast and deep. In general, you can safely assume that data transfer from the internet into AWS is free, whereas data transfer from within AWS to the internet costs money. From a project management perspective, we'll dig into the specifics is fine. Essentially, anything can send data anywhere you'd like it to is the capability story here to bear in mind. Number eight, and it's near and dear to my heart, is billing. As for billing, the general concepts are this. You generally pay for what you use. If you use more resources, you will pay more, and nothing automatically turns itself off if you're not using it. That has to be something that someone goes back and fixes. The golden model of the cloud is that you increase resource usage along with demand, often called autoscaling, and then turn it back down as that demand wanes. This, of course, is much harder than it sounds like, but it's what I specialize in at the Duckbill Group, so feel free to visit duckbillgroup.com if you have trouble reining in your AWS spend. Now, that's the top eight as I see it, and I've gotten some feedback that there should be a separate line item here for security, but let's face it, security is going to need to be addressed throughout the entire process. This is why having security-focused design reviews is so important. There are security implications to every service I've just named. It's not worth calling security out as its explicit line item because I perhaps naively presume that security discussions will be baked into everything. If you don't, it's going to hurt. Lastly, you might notice that there's no snark whatsoever in this entire recording. And the reason behind that is because helping people find jobs is something that I am incredibly serious about. If you think I may be able to help with that, please don't hesitate to reach out. I'm very easy to find. I'm QuinnyPig on Twitter. Or you can email me, Corey@lastweekinaws.com. This has been the AWS Morning Brief. Thanks for listening.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.